Well, it's good to be with you all on this last Sunday of 2020. And unlike Nick, I am not in my childhood room growing up. I'm in the same room that I've been in this entire pandemic. Literally, feels like I've been stuck in here. But I hope you all had a restful and reflective Christmas this past week, especially since none of us have experienced a Christmas quite like this one that we just did in the midst of everything that has happened and is happening this year. I acknowledge that this year has been a lot, and we've all had to carry and endure plenty of heaviness. We've all experienced loss and pain and disappointment and had to navigate a very disorienting and unprecedented year. And all of us, including myself, are still processing all the hurt and trauma and loss that each of these things have had on us. Every year, the New York Times, as well as other publications, they all do a review of the year in photos. And I spent some time scrolling through images that captured what happened each month this past year. And there were so many moments that I had forgotten took place in this very long year. But these were some of the more notable images that captured the main themes and experiences of our year. So at the beginning of the year, we were ushered into a pandemic that would lead to global shutdowns and sheltering at home and empty highways and empty roads. Eventually, we had to adapt, and social distancing became our way of life. Forest fires devastated California, as well as Australia at the beginning of the year, and other natural disasters displaced so many people around the world. In the summer, there were protests across the country and the world against racial injustice and police brutality. We mourn the death and loss of many impactful individuals, such as John Lewis and RBG, as well as countless family and friends who died from COVID and other circumstances. In the fall, an extremely divisive election consumed our country, and it's still impacting us today. And the last picture they showed, the one that was most recent, we began to see the rollout of the vaccine, with this 90-year-old woman becoming the first person in Britain to receive the coronavirus vaccine. And this last image seems to offer a glimpse of hope and light to end this year. Hope that a vaccine might finally change the way we have been living in isolation and fear for so long. Hope that we can slow down the infections and deaths that have plagued our world. Hope that we might be able to fully connect with people and community in person one day soon. And in the lectionary text for this morning, which is from Isaiah 61 and 62, the prophet is reflecting on the hope of a full restoration of the people and nation of Israel. For them, they had been in exile for so many years after the Babylonians conquered them and took them captive. They didn't just have one bad year, but they had decades of suffering and pain. They had been hoping for freedom and a return back to life as it was before exile. And as they finally are able to return back to their homes in Jerusalem, they come back to a city and home that has been destroyed and in need of rebuilding. It's not a return they had envisioned. And yet they still are holding to the hope of God's promise that they will experience full restoration and healing. This is how the theologian Miroslav Volf describes hope. He says, "Optimism is based on the possibilities of things as they have come to be. Hope is based on the possibilities of God, irrespective of how things are. Hope is grounded in the faithfulness of God, and therefore on the effectiveness of God's promise. And sometimes God's promise of restoration looks different than what we might have imagined. It might mean a completely new and transformative experience, and not necessarily a return back to how things used to be. In a way, it's how we're invited to what our new normal might look like for us this upcoming year. And so this morning, the question I want us to reflect on as we close out this year is, how are we invited to hold the tension of the painful realities we are experiencing with the hopeful promise that God offers? How might we be open to a new way of being in this new year? And to help us make space to reflect this morning, we'll be listening and reflecting on the text through a practice known as Lectio Divina, which literally means divine reading. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Lectio Divina, it's an ancient practice that lets scripture speak to us. And our posture is simply to listen and reflect. Instead of our tendency to analyze or study or work to understand the text, this is an invitation to receive what the Spirit is offering. So we'll go through four movements, which means the passage will be read four times. And after each reading, you will have some time and space to chew on this text in your mind and heart. And during each movement, you'll focus your mind on a word or phrase that stands out to you. In between readings, you'll also have space to reflect on your response to this text and how it speaks to you, particularly in this moment. Don't worry if you get distracted. Allow yourself the freedom to acknowledge the distractions and then move on. So go ahead and get to a comfortable position if you're able. You can even close your eyes if that's helpful for you. Take a couple of deep breaths to calm your mind and your heart. And as you hear this passage for the first time, open yourself to the presence of God. Take in the words and flow of this passage and allow yourself to remain open to the Spirit of God. Identify any words or phrases that grab your attention. Listen to the text. I invite Emily to read for us. This is the first reading.
I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For God has clothed me with the garments of salvation. God has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God.
Thank you.
And as we listen to the passage for a second time, continue to listen for a word or phrase that stands out to you. And as you do, begin to meditate and chew on that word or phrase in your mind. Reflect on why God would highlight this for you today and ask God any questions that come to mind. Take note of the things that seem important as you meditate on the word or phrase that God's given you. And I invite Nick to read for us. This is the second reading.
I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For God has clothed me with the garments of salvation. God has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest, until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give, and you shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God.
And as we listen to the passage a third time, listen for God's invitation and how you might respond. Maybe it's letting go of something or taking up something. Maybe it's doing something or being something. The invitation can take many different forms. Continue to listen for God's invitation as you look for ways to respond to the word or phrase you were reflecting on. And after this third reading in a time of silence, we'll have an opportunity to share that word or phrase that God has brought to your attention to reflect on. I invite Gina to read for us. This is the third reading.
I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For God has clothed me with the garments of salvation. God has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God.
And as we finish this third movement, we have an opportunity to share as a community what words or phrases God has brought to your mind. It's a chance to be able to hear how this text is speaking to the rest of our community. So as you're ready, go ahead and type in the chat whatever word or phrase you have been reflecting on. I'll give you a moment to do that.
Thank you.
So we'll close our time together by listening to the passage one final time. Try to savor the words and phrases that you have heard and those that have been shared by others as well. There's no need to reflect or respond in this last reading. Simply rest in the love that God has for you as you hear the text. Allow God's Spirit to draw you close and fill you with love, grace, and peace as you can be filled and refreshed for your continuing journey. I invite David to read for us. This is the final reading.
I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for God has clothed me with the garments of salvation. God has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest, until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And as we close this morning, I want to leave us with this poem written by Howard Thurman as we move through Christmas and into this next season and new year. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins, to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, and to make music in the heart. We ask all this in the love of God, the hope of the Son, and the peace of the Holy Spirit. Amen.